Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Remember that song, and then kind of like tell you what your age is. But anyway, before we get started, I want to say, tell all of my listeners thank you, the ones in Hawaii, the United States, the ones in Canada, United Kingdom, Cameroon and Nigeria, Africa, Pakistan and Peru, Australia, Singapore, and Iraq, because, you know, we started small, and now people listen to me talk my trash all over the globe. So, hey, I'm happy about that. But you know something, today our guest is a real-life psychic, not somebody who's perpetrating with a crystal ball and a rag around her head and got shit rigged to the chairs and table move. None of that. This is a real deal. So if you want to ask this lady a question, make sure you tune in to 347-945-6003 and hit the one key, because that will let me know that you want to ask a question or make a comment. Now, my other co-host, Felicia, won't be on the line tonight. She's going through some things like we all do from time to time. But my other co-host, Strawberry, is here with me and my guest. But, you know, I first want to give a shout-out to my friend Kelly in Nebraska. Tell him I hope your dad gets better. Say hi to Mr. Buster. I want to give a shout-out to my real estate agent, Michelle Williams. Oh, this female, man, she just like family. She down with it. So if any of y'all need some help, y'all in Columbus, Georgia area, or Alabama, Phoenix City area, called Coldwell Bankers, and that's for Michelle Williams, because she'll hook you up with the hookup. So we're going to get off of that, and we're going to get to say hello to my co-host Strawberry real quick. How you doing, Strawberry?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
Girl, I'm ready to go, man. I see my packing is down, and I got a little bit left. I'm ready to go. But you know something, Strawberry, we only got an hour with this wonderful lady. So I'm going to let you go ahead and ask your question first. And if anybody want to ask the question, hit that one key. I will open your mic, because this is the real deal.
Well, Lorna, I do have a question. I notice a lot of times when I'm in my apartment or if I'm outside, I always feel like I'm having I feel like I have presence beside me, and I don't know who it is. Or, like, little certain things would happen, and I just don't have an explanation for it. So I'm just not sure who it is.
Yeah. So a lot of times, first of all, you're ahead of the game if you feel the presence in the first place, because in order to feel the presence of whether it be your spirit guides who are always there to guide us and assist us, or perhaps an angel or you know, it's funny. So anyway, but that you're aware of the presence again, you know, that's pretty important, because a lot of us, we just get so busy with our lives and we don't even realize that spirit is right there trying to guide us and help us. And, for the outcome, for our highest good. It's interesting. I don't know. It seems to be very, I get like a young boy. He's anywhere from like 7 to 9. It could be, I'm not sure. He could be one of your spirit guides. I don't feel like you lost anybody, that age. But he's playful, but he's not as playful, he says, as a regular 7 or 9 year old. So, he very well could be one of your spirit guides, because spirit guides, you know, are entities that have taken the physical body, that have had lives and choose to stay on the other side to guide us. They're beings or people, souls that we have had perhaps many lifetimes with, as a father, mother, brother, sister, friend, that sort of thing. He's interesting. He says he sort of sticks to you like glue. It's not any particular reason. That is, it's not as if it's a warning or anything like that. Many times spirit guides will let their presence be known, and we as humans, you know, we sort of add the fear factor and say, well, is there something wrong, or, you know, something like that. And there's really not. In this case, there's not. Most of the time, there's not. They just want to make their presence known. I'm trying to get him to get his name. Yeah.
Wow.
So you haven't, has anybody in your family lost a child?
Not that I'm aware of.
Cousins, any extended family, anything like that?
As far as a child,
no.
No, not that I can remember. A 7 to 9 year old boy?
7 to 9, yeah. Yeah. When guides show up like that, you can always feel free to ask them questions or ask them for guidance, a good time to do that is right before you go to sleep, because in the sleep state, you know, we have no judgment. We're not, you know, freaked out if a being comes through or someone who's passed, you know. So in the sleep state, also vibrationally, it's easier for that person who's passed or one of our guides to come through when we're sleeping. And so if they don't come through the first time, some people, they say, oh, well, I tried it a couple times. Well, you got to try it more. You got to be more consistent with it, because they're there to help us. It's just that sometimes perhaps we're not open. Maybe we've got too many things going on, you know, in our subconscious that's, you know, coming out in our dreams. But he's very interesting. He's sort of just going along with you. I'm not sure why, Strawberry, at this time. I'm not sure why he's hanging out with you. So you might want to ask him. I mean, you might feel a little strange speaking to the air, you know, but, you know, if you feel him there, he's there, you know, this is not in your mind, you know? So you might ask him and then see what kind of feedback, listen for it and see what you get.
Cool. Wow. Well, I got a question.
Oh boy, I got to remember that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and so our guides, you know, spirit guides, we have 7 or 8 at any time, and so they take on, you know, many different forms. Some are very serious, evolved beings, and other ones are lighter, you know, more easygoing. Some of them are very outright funny, you know. So why not the little boy?
I have a question for you, though.
Uh-huh.
This 7 to 9-year-old boy, do you know if he's related to me of any sort?
He only seems to be related to you personally, so he could even be from a past life, perhaps a son, you know, from a past life, because there is a strong connection, he says, between you and he. It's like I see it in my mind as like a bond, like a tether, you know, a connection, a cord that's between you.
Wow.
And I'll see that a lot of times when we've spent many lifetimes, usually with our immediate family, you know, working out lessons, you know. That's why immediate family can be bring on some difficult, challenging life lessons for us.
Okay, well, I have a question, because I know you also talk to the dead. My favorite aunt, Lucille, she passed away. And one particular morning, you know, I woke up, and I had some serious chest pains. I thought it was so severe that I couldn't move. And when I went to church, I got to church late because it was early in the morning and I couldn't get myself together. And while I was in church, tears kept coming down my eyes. Don't know what the reason was. And then one of the ladies beside me went and got me some tissue, and I just kept crying silently. Then a couple of days later, I got a call that they found my aunt dead from a massive heart attack. My mother says that she thinks that because me and my aunt were so close, that she was trying to take me with her, and I was feeling her heart attack, because I have never felt pain like this. Trust what I tell you, I've had some serious pain from surgeries and the like, but this particular time it was so intense I couldn't move, and all I could do was pray, Lord, stop this. You know, was that what my mother said true, or was it just a fluke?
No, it's not a fluke. I don't believe in flukes or coincidences. So I think this, Terry, was definitely your aunt, and she was not trying to take you with her. She, you know, that sort of wouldn't be your aunt's decision. That would be, you know, God's decision.
Right.
But it seems that she was trying to, in a painful way, tell you, this is what's going on, this is what's happened to me or happening to me, and it was more of a direct communication.
Wow.
I mean, it's pretty powerful to feel that, what someone, that terrible pain.
And I felt
sometimes
bad.
I'll go ahead.
I felt bad because her and her daughter was having, you know, sometimes your mothers and daughters don't always get along at the same time. And she hadn't went to see her, so they don't know how long she was there. So when they found her, she was already decomposing, you know, rigid and
stuff.
Oh, so
yeah.
Sad because
now, how many days was that when you felt that incident, you know, that pain, and then till they found her? How many days was it?
I don't know. I don't think it was no more than 2 or 1 day later.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, yeah. Yeah, and it was just sort of like her reaching out to you.
Well, I hope you know she's loved, and I love her, and
oh,
I miss
yeah.
her. And
absolutely.
My grandmother, you know, I was 1 year old when she passed away, so I don't really know her to remember her right now.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom, she tells me such great stories about her. I pray that she's looking down and they all trying to keep me focused, because I know something about my life. I don't care how I try to mess up. God got me always around ministers and godly people, and I'm glad about that, you know. So it's like, you know, they watching me and they helping me, so I'm happy about that, you know. So
what's your, Terry, what's your grandmother's, what's her first name? What was her first name?
Irene? Uh-huh.
You know,
her name was Irene
with...
Hampton before my grandpa married her, made her a Robertson.
It's funny when you talk, you know, when people talk, that's how I pick up on their energy. And the only thing I need to connect with anybody alive or past is their first name. And so when I talk to you, there's this immense amount of female energy, and it's like strong. And I sort of look energetically, like when you're talking about your family, and I the guide says, you know, your spirit guide says, well, where are the men? You know, it, and the men are there, but the women are so strong,
you know
energetically and spiritually, they can't get a word in edgewise, you know.
Tony, you hit the nail on the head, because all the females in my family, I just kept, they're the vocal ones, and the men just shut up and don't do anything. So when they out in public, the females let them pretend like they're in charge, but all the women run the guys, and it's just that way. We will take care of what you need to eat, clothes, but you just, you know, we got this. But we out in public,
yeah.
Give you a little. Yeah, but
that's funny. Yeah, it's funny because the men are there, but you know. So the one thing with Irene, it's interesting that she says, and she is with you, and it's very interesting about grandparents. I may have said this in the past, but grandparent energy is stronger than usually most people on the other side. They'll elbow their way to the front of the line, and
right,
many. Sorry.
Okay. Said many
so,
what?
So many times people haven't known their grandparents like you, you know, but they always say it doesn't matter because blood is blood. And so
that's
she's
right.
Still your grandmother. But the one thing Irene says is that she does watch over you. She is concerned about your mom. But she knows that, you know, there's a path for her, and, you know, she's not worried in a human sense, but, thank you. So she says that she's glad she doesn't live in this time that we're living in with the computers and all of that.
Right.
And was she born, I mean, I'm looking at like the 1900s?
She had to be back then because my mom
yeah.
was born in 6, and she's 81 come
okay.
Tuesday. So she had to be, you know, back then.
Yeah.
And my great-grandmother was supposed to be full-blooded Cherokee Indian, and my mother used to always talk about planting her hair, her dark hair, combing it. So my mother, my grandmother, Irene, I was always told that, you know, she loved to wear flowers and dress real sharp. And my mother's the same way, man. She dresses sharp wherever she go. And I'm kind of like, you know, when I'm going out, I try, like, you know, take up like that. You know, they're very proud of being a lady. And they look like a lady, smell good, and all this other stuff. But I got one more question, then I'm going to turn it over to Strawberry. My other question is... the guy from Lionsgate who got my script broken, Now, when I sent him the script, he got back with me. He said that there was a section that was doubling, so I called the lady who wrote the script, and we went over it, and found out that some program that she was using was creating that problem. So we took some stuff out, you know, because he didn't want to make it too long. Then he came back and he said, well, it was too short. I said, okay. So we redid it again and sent it back to him, and he still got it. And, you know, right now I'm a little afraid to even ask how it's going because I'm trying to move and get up out of here, and I want to wait till I get to my new house and let him say great news because it is a good story, my life. And the difference about my autobiography and the other books that I wrote is that my autobiography is including God in it and letting people know that I don't care how far you have fallen, God still got your back, you know, where everything mm-hmm. else was about, you know, poetry or novels, it didn't have God in it to that degree. I've always put God in my work, but I didn't put a lot of him in there. And I just want people to know that, you know, you can bounce back from whatever. You know, don't believe the lie that the devil got for you, because I know the devil is riding my back, you know, because he don't want the good news to get out there. And so I know I saw an email between him and the lady who introduced me to him. She wrote the book, The Matrix and the Terminator, Sophia. And she sent me an email April the 3rd, and she said something like, you know, my script is good, you know, it's doing good. So I hope that since I haven't heard from him since earlier this month, that means that I'm on the right track. And I hope Lion Gate will be the ones who produce it. But if not,
yeah,
whoever, I'll be happy.
What's his first name, the guy who has the script?
Mark, M-A-R-C.
Mark. So, right, and so it's really, yeah. So one of the things, Terry, is, let's see, I'm working, sure. So they don't want you, your guides are saying, make sure that mistake that happened, make sure that doesn't happen again. So
okay,
it seems that you have to proof, you know, and reread maybe whatever that lady does who puts it in the proper form, you know. But
right,
you need to, because it's not good for something like that to be allowed to slip through.
Right, and that's what happened. She messed
yeah.
it up, but she didn't know it was messed up, so I called her. So you're right. Now I read everything.
Yeah, so now that happened, it's kind of a warning, kind of like, you know, check and recheck and recheck before you send it to someone so important like that, right? Because stuff happens. I do feel that these delays are, you know, in time, these, you know, time goes by, and it's not by accident, but rather by design that
mm-hmm.
that happened in the script, and you know, he sent it back and said, you know, fix it. Okay, now it's too short. And so they're saying that there's a reason, you know, everything happens in the time that it's supposed to happen. There's that synchronicity that is
right.
That is out of our hands, you know. And so they're saying, really, right now your job is to, what they'd like you to do, your job is just to stand by. It's in the correct hands, and now just let it go. What
all
they'd
right.
like you to do, strangely enough, they're asking, where's your next book? Are you writing? Let's get on with the next project. While this one, you know what I mean? So I don't know if you're continuing to write, but they're like, you know, just because this guy has the script doesn't mean that you don't have three more books in you.
Okay. And
they're
right.
sort of
the
like,
reason
you know,
because I'm moving and I didn't have time between
uh-huh.
the moves. But I'm gonna get back to it. I didn't know if I should do a sequel because you can't tell your whole life in one book, you know, or
right.
write something completely different.
Well, and that's a really, really good question. So when you have a question like that, and that's a great example of, you know, they say, you know, allow yourself to be led, you know, and so I would sort of meditate on that question and sort of keep it on the front burner in your mind and
right.
say, and ask your guides and angels and say, you know, and God and say, you know, what is next? Should I do something completely different, something kind of fun? Because I feel when you write that you really are in a way channeling, because the information I feel just pours out of you. They say the book pours out of you. And that's extremely powerful. So they're sort of like, okay, you've got this guy over at Lionsgate, and, you know, we hope and pray that everything goes well. But they're sort of like, get back to work, you know. Okay. You have one in the oven, this one's cooking, you know. And so they're saying, what next? Because it seems like you should be writing.
Okay, well, I write a lot of poetry. And other than Broken, I have two novels, but I prefer poetry because poetry is short and get to the heart of what you're trying to say right away. So are they saying it's okay to go with the poetry? Because I love writing poetry.
Not really. They say that if it's fulfilling and it makes your heart sing, then that's wonderful for you. But they say, what about these two novels? Are they asleep, these novels, or what are you doing with them?
Not much. And I did have, when I started, Big Girls Don't Count Them Out, because I was going to write about the stereotype, how people try to judge plus-size women, and they assume this and that. And I was going to write that and say, dispel the myth that, you know, big girls, they want love, too, and big girls ain't always nasty and sloppy, blah, 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 you know.
And they keep going back to the two novels. They want to know, they're not going to let you off the hook. They want to know about the two novels. Do you feel they're complete? Are they ready to submit, perhaps, to be published, or do they need to be?
Oh, they're already published. One is about one of my ministers at my church, how he dealt with being in the military and going through the Jim Crow racism of the South. His book is called Forgiveness that I wrote for him. And the other one is called Peeling Back the Mask, is where I expose these phony people up in church that sit there looking all nice, and they're running people away from church. And then on a down low, you know, they're messing around with guys and stuff and wanting guys to pay for all the stuff that they want, but they don't want to give out no coochie, you know, and they're playing these little games, and that's called Peeling Back the Mask. So they wrote, everything I've got is already published, the 10 books.
Yeah, but
so
they're talking that, now that the books are published and this Peeling Back the Mask is a very powerful, the other one's powerful as well, but Peeling Back the Mask, that one has even more power, and they want you to now tell the rest of the world about it, they say, because it's almost like they're not secrets, but it's, you know, I don't know why they're pushing you to get those out there.
I will listen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and while you talk to my spirit guides, tell my spirit guides and my family that's going on to glory, I love them. Thank you for being there and keeping me sane, because sometimes my mind be like going here and there.
Yep, me too. I know. Crazy.
Well, Scarborough, if you got a question, you go ahead and ask it, because I was going to do a commercial break, but I decided since we only got an hour with you, I'm going to get as much time in to ask you questions. And anybody else listening, just hit the one key, man, and ask your question. She talks to the dead. She talks about the present, you know, whatever it is you want to know, because you ain't going to have this opportunity. And don't forget as well, in May, the first couple of weeks, she's going to have a sale on her work. You know, she'll give you a whole half hour for $40 and a whole hour for $75. So, you know, right now it's free. Don't be stupid. Hit the one key. <You wanna lie. laughs>
Free is good.
It so is all day long. Go ahead, Strawberry Baby.
Well, I want to get back to my angel here.
Okay.
So, I wonder, like, what is his name? Like, what year was he born?
Well, so what year was he born doesn't apply to him, because he's, you know, here on Earth we have to deal with time and space and you know, laws of time, you know, like 24 hours, that sort of thing. So on the other side, there is no time and space. He says his name is Ricky.
Ricky?
Ricky, yeah, that's what he says. And, yeah. So he's been with you many times in different forms, brother, friend, child a long, long time ago, many lifetimes ago. Right. So, yeah. So there's not a year, you know, I believe in, you know, reincarnation. I don't know why we would choose to keep coming back, because life can be pretty difficult and painful, but we seem to do it over and over and over again.
So meaning like, he's dead, but he comes back in a form of somebody else?
Well, there's no such thing as dead, you know, because we leave, and I know what you mean, but so I don't even use the word dead because, you know, we leave the physical body, but of course our soul always continues, you know, there is no end to it. So as a spirit guide, that means he's been around with you in different lifetimes before, has chosen to stay on the other side this time around as you have taken a physical body to learn certain lessons. And I also believe that before we come into this lifetime, you know, we sort of stack things up on our plate, lessons to learn, people to encounter, challenges, you know, to work out, that sort of thing. So, you know, he's around to help you and to guide you. So that's why I said before, you know, to take advantage of the opportunity and ask him questions, ask him, you know, perhaps for guidance. Is there something I'm missing, or what's the next step, you know, wherever you are in your life, in different areas of your life.
So
make sense?
So why is he so young if he's trying to, like, you know, guide? Like, is he like 7 to 9 years old now, or was he that age when his soul passed, or?
Well, you know, that's the beauty of it, is that, you know, we can come through, you know, or guides can come through at any age that they want. And I don't know if you've ever heard it said, maybe you've heard it, Terry. They say that, like, if I was to have a dream about my mom who's passed, that everybody always chooses to come back at the age of 30. Because they look good still, you know, midlife, you know, and that's just how they choose to show up. So when you're on the other side, so actually this little soul, this guide who's coming through, is choosing to come through as a child.
Wow.
So he has that choice that's available to him, you know.
So
wow.
What is Ricky saying right now?
Well, he's really not saying anything. He's sort of just standing by.
Wow. That's good. That's good.
I mean, if you want some feedback on something, you know, specific, usually spirit guides will, you know, when I do readings, of course, they all go on and on and on. But when they ask specific questions, they'll give you specific answers.
Well, okay, like today, I ended up quitting my full-time job today because I felt like I was going through so much verbal abuse where
mm-hmm.
I was at. And
mm-hmm.
I felt like I had to leave, and it was messing with my health as well because I was
mm-hmm.
I was a daycare teacher. And
mm-hmm.
then I ended up quitting. And I kind of have mixed feelings about everything, including, of course, finances and everything like that. So it's kind of like
mm-hmm.
right now I'm having mixed feelings.
Did you have a job to go to before? Quit?
I'm sorry?
Did you have a job to go to before you quit? Because I'm always a firm believer, don't quit one job unless you're walking into another one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do have a part-time that I am starting on Wednesday as a
girl, I need to thank you.
Kate Spade, yeah. So
isn't it interesting that he says, Strawberry, he says, you know, so you were working with children?
Yeah. I've worked with kids for 17 plus years.
So do you see the irony of that this little guide comes through as a child?
Well,
yes.
It's like I love children and everything. It's just sometimes it's like every job that I'm dealing with, you know, of course it's in daycare, I always end up leaving it. And it's like everybody around me keeps telling me it's not the kids, it's mainly the adults that give me the hard time.
Absolutely.
That's what she's saying, Strawberry. She's saying that this spirit guide, he presents himself as a child. It's not because
mm-hmm.
the adults is giving you the problem. It's just that he's relating
mm-hmm.
to you as something that you are familiar with, and you've been dealing
right.
with children. That's why he comes to you as a child. That's the correlation
right.
she's
saying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Exactly. Yeah, and I can tell you, I don't recall a time when a guide has shown himself or herself as a child. Now, they may present themselves as childlike, you know, with an attitude of, you know, childlike fun, that sort of thing. But this is like a 9-year-old boy. I mean, a 7 to 9-year-old boy. So, you know, and maybe it's time to leave that field. You know, have you thought about that? Maybe it's because the adults are a pain in the rear. Absolutely. You know,
I mean, every time I leave it, I always end up having to go back because I have no other choice.
Well,
you always have
a choice. You got to create a choice. I mean, go back to school, do a certificate program, create something for your future so you don't have to go back. And once you start looking, you may think that's impossible or an impossible challenge, which, you know, it is hard work, absolutely, but it's not impossible, they say. You know, you can find something else that calls to you that you enjoy doing that you also can make a living at. It doesn't have to be childcare. So it may be time to leave that.
You're probably right, but I do have one last question.
Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, Ricky, is he some sort of kin to me in any kind of way, like related, or is he not?
Sure, he's someone you know already.
This lifetime. Yeah, not in this lifetime, but perhaps in past lifetimes, absolutely. There's that cord, that connection. He is not unfamiliar to you, but was he someone in this lifetime? No. Because,
yeah,
again,
agree,
he's
like
chosen.
He's not unfamiliar.
No, he's not unfamiliar, but this time around he has chosen to stay on the other side in spirit and not take the physical body.
Well, if he's scared, I'm going to be scared if he kind of presents himself in a way.
No,
you know,
they don't have
need,
any.
You need to get that maid special and talk to her for an hour about Ricky. That same question. He is not related to you in this life cycle, okay? He presents
right.
himself as a child because that's what you deal with children. Now, if you want to
right.
dip into something more in-depth because you're on the air, call her up. Use a PayPal invoice.
I'm definitely going to call you up.
You know I'm clowning. But I do have a question real quick. And my question is,
okay.
Since you believe in previous life, we have all lived before. Because I know when I was in California, this lady read me, and she did something. I had my eyes closed, and she did something with my hands or whatever. Anywhere I saw different lights and stuff. Okay, in my different life, if I've had one, back in the days of biblical time, was I a follower of Christ, or was I one of those Pharisees or Sadducees? I mean, where was I at? Way back then, because I hope I was still grounded in Christ then.
Well, that's an interesting question. Yeah, so they won't give you that particular label that you're seeking, but they
okay.
will because it's they say you know it's not it is relevant, but it's not terribly relevant. But they say one of the things that keeps coming up for you, Terry, and, you know, they don't mean this in a harsh way, is you can be stubborn. You've said that. And so being stubborn is not a bad trait. Actually, being stubborn, you can say you're being persistent, which is a very good trait. But when it's all to varying degrees. So if you are stubborn to the point where you're sticking your feet in the cement and then you're getting in your own way, that seems to be what they say, even way back then, was a reoccurring theme. They say you were first a non-believer and then became a believer. And, right, so the resistance to the believing in Christ came from a sort of resistance or stubbornness, as opposed to being more flexible, you know, and saying, well, wait a minute, let me just try this on for size. I'm not buying the whole deal, but let me just look at it and check it out, you know, instead of it's not so black and white, you know.
And that's how
yes,
I really
absolutely.
Say,
yes.
So you're right, Lorna, because I like to check things out, because I can be stubborn about certain things. When certain things happen, it makes me formulate, you know, in my mind, okay, well, this happened a couple of times, I'm not going to do this no more. And even though people might say, no, give it a shot, you know, I'm always looking, because once you've been hurt, once I've been hurt, I've tried to safeguard myself from that. So I guess, you know, the stubbornness is also a persistence to not do the same stupid stuff, you know, and make better choices, you know, and try to make myself better. So I'm not offended when they say stubborn, because I think it's not so much as being stubborn, it's more like being observant, you know, being, making wiser choices. And the other question I got before I let Strober ask her question, because you only got like 15 more minutes, and anybody who want to talk and ask a question, hit the number one key. This is your time, I'm telling you, because after, you know, we have the show, you will have to pay to get this wisdom. And my other question is, I don't want to be stubborn. I want to, you know, not be hard like the women in my family are known to be. You know, the women be in charge and the men just be quiet and watch sports. And, you know, that's the way I was raised. But anyway, am my stubborn behind going to find me a husband? Or is that my husband going to find me?
Well, that's a really good question, too, because that directly ties into your – right. So first of all, they say you've got to make room for a man, because when this man comes along, I can tell you he is not cut from the same cloth as the other men in your family. This is not a man who just being quiet and watching sports. And you don't want that kind of man anyway. You want a man that, yeah, I mean, that's what they say. You want a man that's interactive, they say, right? Like a video game. But truly interactive. And so, like, you know, your two lives come blending together. So first of all, Terry, you have to make room. So you can't, you understand what they mean by that, making room for someone like that?
Man, make room in my heart. Stop trying to do everything by myself. Try to, you know, let somebody else help me, you know, because I'm so used to taking care of everybody else's issues that I find myself being the go-to person. Not that I want to be, it just happens that everybody go to me, you know, and I feel like I got to fix everything. I would like somebody to help fix me, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, the part of the win about, you know, oh, well, everybody comes to me to, like, fix things is that, you know, it makes you feel useful and purposeful, you know. So, but there's also something really powerful in creating boundaries and saying, you know, I wish I could help you, but I can't, you know, because, and so that's getting selfish, but a good kind of selfish for yourself and your own life, you know, because if you want to create a life with a man, you know, there's got to be priorities, you know, the marriage has to come first, the relationship has to come first. And so this means putting people who are in your family or whatnot, who are used to being number one and used to being, you know, Terry is, you know, available 24/7, all of a sudden she's not. And so you get some unhappy, growly people, but, you know, so what? you know. So it really is, it's so much more than that. It's really making a decision, because they also add, you would not be happy with the man who is just a doormat.
You want
a man who's his own person, just as strong and opinionated and involved in life as you are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, yeah.
But you have to allow it. Well, you got to allow it, though. You know, you got to make room for it.
Well, I'm making room.
I don't know.
I just got to see. I don't know
if you're, you know, are you taking time for yourself? Or they ask, is there anything left of Terry at the end of the day?
Probably not. I focus mostly on my daughter, grandkids, and church, you know, and right now I'm just focusing on my move and my mom, get her down here because
right.
of her going. So I really don't focus much on me, but I'm trying to prepare environment for my mother, because I want her near me as she starts to lose her memory, so she know I'll know she's protected and safe. And then maybe, you know, after she get here, maybe I can just exhale and breathe, you know. But right now,
yeah.
the party seems to be her.
Yeah. They just want you to know, Terry, also, you know, you don't have to be everything to everyone, because then at the end of the day, there's nothing of Terry left. And so, you know, that's not, you know, that's not a good thing.
Right.
Because so that ties into the relationship, you know. So absolutely the possibility of a relationship. I feel like this first book is going to, or the book that's at Lionsgate is going to get off the ground. And, you know, here's the deal, though. When he shows up, and you'll know when he shows up, it's going to be a real wake-up call. And you'll have quite a few chances with him. But if you don't make room for him, he won't stay.
Okay. Well, girl, trust and believe, Lorna, when he make himself known, I'm going to make a whole lot of room, because, you know, I'm trying to do right. You know, I'm not trying to be out there fornicating and stuff. But a girl needs what a girl needs. Come on.
Well said.
Well, I have some questions now.
Go ahead, baby.
Okay, so back to Ricky. So does he feel that I would ever be married and have children?
How old are you?
I am 31.
Huh. Right. So why do you think you're not married?
Well, maybe I haven't found the right one, or I've made a mistake from my past.
And what was that? What was that in here?
Or I possibly made mistakes in my past where maybe I had the one and didn't realize it. I'm not really sure.
No, because, you know, I'll tell you what. If you had met the one will happen in spite of you. You know, if it's meant to be, there's nothing you can do wrong. And as far as making mistakes in the past, that's just learning. That's life, you know?
That's right.
So we make mistakes. So hopefully, right, hopefully, God willing, we're smart enough not to repeat them. Some of us, like myself included, you know, might repeat them quite a few times. That's the lesson,
that's
you know?
Right.
So, but what are you doing, Strawberry, to like, to meet, are you trying to meet someone, or?
Well, I pretty much
you feel
to myself
you,
at the moment.
Say that again.
I stay to myself at the moment.
Yeah, you know, I kind of feel like you have almost a little bit of the same thing Terry has going on. Is there room for someone? Are you ready for someone? You know, because that's key, right? You got to be ready for it.
But does Ricky know if I'm ready for it or not? Like, am I going to ever have kids?
Well, he's like a spirit guide. I think you will. But I think the guy that you meet, he comes along with a couple of kids already, and then you two decide to have one together. But that's not for like another 4 years or so. But you would meet him before, I mean, because you want to, you know, date someone at least a couple of years before you marry him, you know,
right,
to fully get to know him. But, you know, it's sort of like, it's sort of a trick question, you know, while I meet someone, it's kind of like, you know, and it's not, they ask, you know, well, are you doing anything to, you know, meet someone? Meeting someone is not up to us. I believe that person comes along when we're ready. I don't know that we can make it happen with online dating or going to, you know, parties or bars or whatever, being set up. You know, you can do a lot of that and try to meet someone. But I'm just of the mindset that when it's meant to happen, it'll happen in spite of you.
All right now.
So
I'll
have another one. One more.
Well, you got to make it quick because we got to wrap it up. We got 9 minutes on the clock, darling. No more Ricky questions. Do something different.
Anything to you right now, or is he more sort of quiet?
Carrie. Cracking me up. I'm sorry. What did you say, Strawberry?
No, I was saying, like, is Ricky saying anything to you right now, or is he more so the quiet, laid-back type?
He's saying move
on. He's just, you know, he's just one of many guides that, you know, rotate in and out of your life. You know, guides come, I mean, you know, an example would be like when I wrote my little book years ago and when Terry's writing, and writing is a real, you know, I believe that spirit guides are really involved in any kind of creative process like that. Would you agree, Terry?
I would.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not just Ricky. I mean, there's many guides around you.
Wow.
Is your dad still around?
But Ricky
around?
Stands out more?
He stands out right now. You know, that may not be the case in a month.
True.
Where's your dad, Strawberry?
Well, my dad is actually home. He's retired and stuff, so.
What's his first name?
Stan.
Dan?
Uh-huh.
Stan,
did you ever see him? S-T-A-N?
Yeah, S-T-A-N, but the whole name is Stanley, but people call him Stan.
Gotcha. You ever see him?
Every day.
Oh, you live at home?
Well, not every day, but he lives like 5 minutes away from me, so I see him whenever I go visit him or my mom.
Huh. Interesting. I almost feel like, does your dad, like, know everybody? Or I take that back. Does everybody seem to know your dad?
He played football back in the 1960s before I was born.
Way back then.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems like, I don't know why, that you could meet someone who's like your dad has a friend, and then that's his son that's around your age. That's why I asked if, excuse me, if your dad has been lived in the area for a long time, and, you know, like when you go about and do your errands and stuff like that, and hey, Stan, you know, it feels like that, like people know him, you know.
Well, yeah, a lot of people do know him.
Do they go to church?
Yeah, they do faithfully.
Do you?
Not like I should.
Well, you better get your butt back up in the church,
I'm not saying, I'm not, you know, I'm like, go to church, don't go to church. I mean, I'm not passing any judgment, you know. You know, to each his own, but they're saying if you went to church with them, because I don't know, I really like your dad. No, I mean, he seems like a pretty chill guy, you know?
Really?
Is that correct?
That is, actually.
Yeah, because he feels like, So, and it feels very friendly and warm. And they also are saying, you know, how lucky you are that you have access to them, you know, because as we get older, you know, they pass, you know, that's just life, you know. And but it's wonderful. And they're suggesting, out of the blue, it must be Terry's influence today. They're suggesting that you go to church with them on Sunday.
All right now.
Because wouldn't that be a nice opportunity to connect with, you know, your higher power? And, you know, church can be like a meditation, you know, and clear your mind and think of all the things you're grateful for. I mean, you know, so church can be a great thing, you know.
Absolutely.
I just think it's a friend of your dad's and he has a son your age. And you meet them like that.
Wow.
Okay. Well, anyway, because we're running out of time now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to let everybody know about the school that you got going, Lorna, and how to reach you and everything. But first, I want to thank you for being on my show and giving me confirmation that Broken, the script, will become a movie. Thank you for that. And I know that once I become a movie, I'm going to be exposed to a whole lot of people, and I'll make sure that I know I feel my toes twinkling and my heart beating all fast, you know, when that right person says, hey, girl.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's such a pleasure. And, Lorna, you know, as soon as I settle down after I move into my place May 5th, I'm going to call you because I'm going to need that 1 hour thing because I got a whole lot of stuff. And, you know, people, trust what I tell you, there's a lot of people out there who are frauds who purposely try to take your money, say they're reading your palm, or they're seeing something in a crystal ball and it's nothing but some glass. Trust what I'm telling you. This is a real deal. You know, I don't back everybody. You know, so when Lorna Adams give you her information, jot it down, you know, because you're going to be surprised. We all go through stuff. And she's going to help let you know the direction that you're going, yay or nay. And you're going to feel so much, you know, confirmation because she'll tell you stuff that she couldn't have known. So, you know, I'm just trying to give you a heads up. This is a real deal. Author is Terry E. Lyle putting her stamp on it and two snaps and a click. So, you know.
Oh, Terry. You're a wild girl.
Information, darling.
Okay, it's Lorna Adams, L-O-R-N-A, Adams, A-D-A-M-S. Just go to lornaadams.com, and that's my website, the email, give me a phone call, you know, whatever's easiest. Although I am in mountain time, so I'm 2 hours behind you. So we're doing the sale in May. I do a sale once a year, and it's May 1st through May 14th, which is Mother's Day. So you can buy a reading and then use it within those 2 weeks. You can buy a reading for your mom if you want for Mother's Day, and as long as we schedule it during May 1st and May 14th, and just go to lornaadams.com. And it has all my pricing, my background. It's got some radio podcast interviews and anything you could possibly want to know about how I work and why I do this work. And I feel very fortunate to be able to do this work. So, and I got Terry's stamp of approval. So
yes,
not everybody
baby.
Gets that.
Yes, she is the real deal. You know something, Lorna, I love you. It's always a pleasure to have you around. You know, I'm going to be calling you, sis. I'm going to say, hey, you know something, da-da-da-da-da, and da-da-da-da-da. I'm going to get the 411, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to learn how to not be so, you know.
I do.
I'm going to learn how to not
Thank
be so
you for
wicked.
The... Thank you. You got to be flexible. Thanks for the time, Terry. Thanks for letting me be on your show. I always love hearing from you and talking to you. And you too, Strawberry.
Aw, thank you.
Well, I just wanted to give a last note to people. This is a Friday evening. Have a great weekend. If you ain't doing nothing on Sunday, try going to church. Pick one at random or call me. You can go to mine. But, you know, drive safe. Don't do drugs and drinking and drive because we got family out there. We want to have a safe weekend, and we'll see you back next Friday for the guy Ramsey Swice. He calls himself the man who never repeat a joke. So, oh, well, we're going to see whether he's funny or not because I'm going to call a spade a spade.
I hope he is for his sake.
I know, right? We're going home with Louis Armstrong. What a wonderful world. Goodbye, Lorna. Goodbye, Strawberry. Thank you, everybody,
Goodbye.
For listening. It's been my pleasure.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. Much more than I never knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.